course I love her. But it's a different kind of love. I mean, it doesn't burn with the passion and intensity of a Tristan and Isolde. It's more comfortable, more familiar. Maris and I are old friends. We can spend an afternoon together. Me at my jigsaw puzzle, she at her auto harp. Not a word spoken between us, and be perfectly content.
You're having problems with your sex life. You and your partner are really having problems. And your doctor says, well, why don't you go to a sex therapist? And you look at one another, you and your husband or you and your wife, and you think, oh my gosh, a sex therapist? We have to talk about what's going wrong. We don't even talk about it with one another. What goes on behind the closed doors of a sex therapist's office? With me today to discuss this is Barry McCarthy. Dr. Barry McCarthy is a professor at American University. He's a certified marital and sex therapist, and he has a private practice in Washington, D.C. He's presented over 150 workshops around the globe on a range of relationship and sexual problems, and he's very prolific. He's written many, many articles and books, book chapters, and with his wife, he's co-authored 8 books on relationships and sexuality, including a book, Rekindling Desire. Dr. McCarthy, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, I'm glad to be here, and I always like talking about sex therapy and talking about what it really is as opposed to the myths about it.
I can imagine the myths that people have. If somebody told me, say, 30 years ago, Ellen, why don't you and your husband go to sex therapy? I would think, oh my God, are they going to make us practice in front of them and show them what goes wrong? And do I have to talk about an orgasm? And oh my God, this is so embarrassing. You know, I'd be flushing already. I know a lot more about it now, but can you explain what is the procedure of if, say, my husband and I were to come to you or a couple were to come to through your doors, what would happen?
Well, usually sex therapy is approached as a couple problem. So you get away from the blaming about who's at fault. Am I at fault? Is my spouse at fault? And think about it as we have to work together to develop a comfortable way of being sexual. And there's never any nudity in the office. You never do anything sexually in the office. That's a very important thing to understand. And that sex therapists are certified by an organization called the American Association of Sex Educators, Counselors, and Therapists. For those people who use the web, you can get on ASECT.org.
How do you spell that?
ASECT? AASECT.org.
Okay.
And it'll give you certified sex therapists in your area. And then after the initial couple session, what then happens is that each of you have one individual session where you get a chance to tell your story, how you learned about being sexual, what are the strengths of your sexual relationship, what are the problems with it. So that, and the therapist's role is not to make you do something you're uncomfortable with. In fact, the therapist in the sexual field tends to be very respectful of individual value, cultural differences. It works within your value system.
Yeah, assuming it's not abusive.
As concerned, right.
Right, there are lines that you...
Because we're definitely not going to be supportive of anything which is harmful to you or to anyone else. But we work within your value system to try to develop a way, a comfortable way of thinking, talking, and experiencing sexuality in your life so that it plays a healthy role in your life rather than it being such a source of stigma and such a drain for you personally and a drain in your marital relationship.
Now, I think just taking a sexual history would be eye-opening for almost everyone, because how many people sit down and actually assemble all of those thoughts of, you know, when did my problems begin? When have I been most aroused? What are the type of questions that you would ask in a typical sexual history?
Well, we start off with histories. Talking about how the person learned about sexuality. Did they learn it from their parents? Did they learn it in terms of sex education classes? Did they learn it through their religious organization? Did they learn it on the street? What have been the healthiest learnings? What have been the most unhealthy learnings? What are the things that they, when in their life did they feel best about sexuality? When in their life has it been the most difficult or the most problematic? So we want to talk not just about problems, we also want to talk about what are their positive learnings and positive resources. We also want to talk about issues that are particularly sensitive, whether those issues had to do with child sexual abuse, it had to do with sexually transmitted diseases or unwanted pregnancies. It had to do with feeling sexually embarrassed or humiliated. So you want to give the person a chance, and you listen in a respectful, empathic way to their story. You also want to hear where sex now sits in their lives and what are their hopes and wishes and desires for themselves and their relationship sexually. And what are some of the concerns that they have about their partner? You know, it's interesting that women, by and large, find couple sex therapy much more helpful and much easier than men do, especially men with erection problems or desire problems.
Why do you think that's the case?
Well, because men generally are thought of as the sexual experts, and they know all the answers. It's not masculine to ask questions. Now, one of the best examples of that is males who are really upset about their erection functioning. And they often won't tell anyone, or they'll go on the internet and get a pro-erection medication like Viagra or Cialis or Levitra and hope that that magically does it, and don't even tell their spouse that they've done that. Where the approach in couple sex therapy is to think about the problem as a biopsychosocial problem. So you want to look at medical factors, psychological factors, as well as relational.
But you help them to open up a lot more. So if they're hiding secrets, like I'm taking Levitra and not telling you, you want that to be not a shameful secret that the husband's hiding or the male partner's hiding, but something that he can say, hey, I need to use this a little bit, and not make it a self-esteem issue, not make it something that he's afraid to talk about. So a sex therapist would work with him to normalize it.
Well, not only that, but also rather than hope that the medication, which is, I think, I'm in favor of the medication. The mm-hmm. problem is that they overpromise in their advertisements.
Yeah.
That you're hoping, the man's hoping he's going to go back, be sexual the way he was in his teens and his 20s.
So
that
somebody in their 50s or 60s right. may think that, oh, great, Levitra will give me that same potency that I had as a kid.
Right. And it's also, he's not going to ask anything from his partner. Where what we say to couples is, if you're going to regain your comfort and confidence with sexual desire or with erections, you've got to do it as an intimate team. And that's one of the nice things about sexuality, is that the two of you can work together to regain that comfort and confidence.
Yeah.
It isn't the medication alone.
It's both
two
of you.
Of you.
Right. And I want to thank you so much. I wish we had more time to talk about sex therapy, because I know you give homework and I know that you really encourage the couples, the partners, to open up with one another.
Right.
I've been talking with Dr. Barry McCarthy, who's written a book, Rekindling Desire. Dr. McCarthy, how can people get one of your books?
Well, it can be to go to the bookstore or on Amazon. And the two most relevant books would be Rekindling Desire, and the other one, I'm the second author with Michael Metz, and we wrote a book called Coping with Erectile Dysfunction, which actually came out in 2004.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
And thank you.
I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on The Rational Basis of Happiness, and join us next week on this at the same time.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner and Dr. Edwin Locke.
One way to actively and respectfully listen to your partner is to check for misunderstandings. When your partner finishes talking, briefly summarize what you heard, then add, "Did I hear you correctly that?" and repeat their words. You want to explore inconsistencies. You say you're okay, but you seem so disappointed. What's really on your mind? Ask for specific examples if your partner uses vague language. If your partner says, "You never do anything right," you can follow up with, "Something specific I did must really be bothering you. Tell me what it is."
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com. And you can buy The Selfish Path to Romance at amazon.com.